And turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. If you want, you'll notice verse 9 is in the bulletin. That'll just remind us of the verse that we're going to focus on tonight. But I'll read beginning with verse 1, and we'll go through verse 9. Just to get the context, this is God's word. Seeing the crowds, he, Jesus, went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." So our text tonight will be verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank and praise you that we can come to this verse tonight to recognize the promises, the encouragement, the challenges that you offer to us through your word, through the Lord Jesus, who has taught us of you, the triune God, and has given us your word. Open our hearts to this verse tonight, to think and to reflect on what this means. We ask in Jesus' holy name, amen. Probably for most of us, when we look at this verse, there are all kinds of things that may come into our minds. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. We probably think about all kinds of strife, people that stir up strife. We think about people that are not reconciled to each other. We think about hurt. We think about anger. We think about strained relationships. We live in a fallen, broken world, where there are lots of times and places where relationships have fallen apart. We have family members that are estranged from one another. We have the reality that peace doesn't always happen the way we want it to. And it's a reality that we have to live with. I grew up as a kid. And back when I was a kid, we loved to watch Westerns, old cowboy movies. And in an old cowboy movie, you've got the peacekeeper. Now, apparently, according to Colt, it was actually the peacemaker was the name of it, but you think of it as the peacekeeper. And the peacekeeper was a revolver that the sheriff would wear on his hip. It was a pistol, and it was an army gun. It was a very popular gun in its day. That's not what Jesus is talking about. We know that. That isn't it at all. But Jesus is talking to us. And as we kind of go through this text, I want us to look at a number of different things with respect to this verse. But I want us to start with us, that Jesus is calling us to develop personal characteristics of making peace. Kids, probably looking for an amen here. Having brothers and sisters is hard, right? Amen. Amen. It's hard. You know, when you're the oldest, you often have the responsibility to kind of keep an eye on the youngest. Now, that does not mean that you sit on them, right? It doesn't mean that you call them names. It doesn't mean that you make fun of them. It doesn't mean that you exert your dominance. You know, one of the things that's hard as a kid sometimes, and I've watched this, is when you're the oldest, and I've been the oldest and am the oldest, it's your responsibility to take care of the younger ones. That's hard. It's hard to be the youngest under the oldest because we usually, yeah, do I have an amen for that? I think Roz is with me. It's really hard. Peace is hard to develop, maintain, and hold on to. And as you look at this verse tonight, kids, I want you with me. I thought about this verse and I thought, you know, I think this is going to be really helpful for all of us to think about. I've got some things that I'm having to face, not in this congregation, but I'm having to face as a pastor, that I've got some tough things that I'm going to have to deal with respect to peace. And I also have the privilege to be able to help a lot of people by talking to a lot of people in counseling about learning how to develop peace. Peace is really, really hard. So what is a true peacemaker? The world we live in is fallen and it's sinful. And we struggle with our own selfish stuff. We want everybody to do things our way. And I know, kids, this might seem really strange. Maybe you haven't figured this out yet. Guess what? People don't always do things your way. Have you figured that out? I think you probably figured it out, right? It's hard. And so we'll struggle. There's lots of violence. I mean, sadly, sometimes as a parent, you find out your kids struggled with people that kind of bullied your kids. And maybe it's just in the playground, maybe it's just in the neighborhood, but you know, if it's anywhere, it's awful. Being bullied is bad, it's wrong. People attack schools, people attack churches. And every year, when the Advent season is coming and we're looking forward to celebrating the coming of Christ, we think about peace on earth. We think about angels. And of course, they say peace on whom the Lord's blessing rests, right? I mean, it's a little bit different. But we think about peace on earth. And people sometimes think about world peace. But you know, sometimes the people that think about world peace, their relationships are falling apart. And they think about peace starting with me, but they would really rather peace starting with you toward me, right? So peace is a really hard thing. Fred and I were just talking the other day about now people do things we never did. They ghost you. That means they just disappear. And communication happening on your phone, all of a sudden you're trying to track somebody down and they're gone. And you're kind of trying to wonder, what's going on? Are we okay? Did I hurt you? Did I offend you? And sometimes you never know. And people say things on their phones with texting you would never say in person. They're weird things. I still tend to write a text like a letter, you know, short, but a letter, you know, I might say, yeah, good, I'll see you there. You know, I might do that once in a while, but I just do too much according to the way people do things now. So communication has shifted a little bit, but we still need to develop peaceful relationships. As you think about this tonight, I want us to consider that true peacemakers genuinely reflect the character of God in our daily lives, in our relationships, as we deal with people. Kids, I want you to get this. We aren't perfect as adults. You aren't perfect as kids. None of us in this room are perfect. Only Jesus is perfect. We always have to remember that. We'll make mistakes. You'll make mistakes. But a true peacemaker has a desire to genuinely reflect the character of God in the way we treat other people. That's a really important thing. And that doesn't mean that we're nice. Nice is not an attribute of God. Some of you have heard me say that maybe way too many times. God is gracious, loving, merciful, kind, compassionate, but he's not nice. Because nice kind of ignores problems, right? We don't want to do that. We want to be honest. And we want to deal with people with real issues. So I want to start, kids, I want you to be with me and check your parents. Make sure they were paying attention, okay? You ask them questions. You tell them what you heard, okay? We'll do this together. What a true peacemaker doesn't do. Let's start with that. Somebody who's a true peacemaker, what we don't do. There's certain things in life that are difficult. We don't want to ignore problems. We don't want to pretend that problems aren't real. Sometimes we want to say, not my problem. Little sister has a problem, not my problem. Nope. We want to work together. We don't want to just throw people out, right? We don't want to be indifferent to tough issues. One of the things that we don't want to do is ignore each other either. I think this is one thing, a true peacemaker is not ignoring other people. Have you guys ever watched really little kids when you say something to them they clearly don't like? I mean, they're really little, like a 2-year-old, you know, or less, maybe year and a half. You say something, okay, you're going to have to drop that. You know what they do? They look up in the air because they haven't really developed what's called object permanence. That means they think if they look away from you, you might disappear. And they're hoping you'll disappear. And so they're looking away, hoping, and sometimes we do that even when we're a little bit older. We have to be careful about that. I've got to stop doing that. But we just look away, hoping somebody will disappear. What we want to do is we want to ignore how we're being corrected. We can't do that. There's some things we don't do. We don't ignore other people. To be a true peacemaker. Now, again, sometimes relationships get broken and there's nothing we can do. And maybe we have to allow it to be broken for a while. But don't stop praying. And be open to being healed and reconciled. See what God will do. But sometimes that's the reality of what happens. We always want to be careful and remember what Christ has done, that he's reconciled us to God. So we want to make sure we stand firm in the truth. We don't compromise the truth. We don't tell somebody what they want to hear. That would not be a true peacemaker. And again, we're not talking about only making peace, but it's also being honest with other people with tough issues. We don't create division. We don't become divisive. And you've probably seen people who are like that. They stir up strife. I had a cousin. He loved to stir up strife. He'd just think of some way to stir up a fight. Because he liked, and then he'd back off and watch it. Just not very nice. Not very kind either. We'll go back to a biblical word. Not very kind, thoughtful, or biblical, right? That's not a good thing to do. We don't want to be divisive. In fact, think of Titus chapter 3, verse 10. And start with verse 9. And here Paul is instructing Titus on how he cares for believers in Crete. And he says, verse 9, but avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. How many things in our world really fall into that category that people get all worked up about, that we don't really want to focus on those things? And then verse 10, he says, as for a person who stirs up division after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him. People that are divisive are dangerous. They're not helpful to the church. So we have to be careful, but there's a time sometimes when we really have to stop. And so we want to make sure that we're trying to avoid things that are a problem, and stirring up dissension is not making peace. It's making little wars. It's creating problems with other people. Now, that's one of the things you have to be careful about, because if you notice, friends can really begin that. Two people can kind of become really close friends, and then they can kind of attack another person. That's not good. So we want to be careful in how we treat one another. A true peacemaker, what does a true peacemaker do? First, I want you to think about the one true peacemaker. That's the Lord Jesus. You never want to forget about Christ. We will always fall short, but remember Jesus. Jesus is our great peacemaker. And here Jesus is the one telling us about being a peacemaker, but Jesus is the one who took on a human nature, came to the earth from heaven, knew exactly who he was, knew why he came. But here he says to us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And here the Son of God is calling us to be peacemakers so that we too will be called sons, children of God. And Christ is the one who came to earth. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And what does he do? He makes peace between God and us. And maybe you've heard the word in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, that Jesus is our propitiation, a hard word, a big word. Propitiation means wrath bearer. And it's not that Jesus is bearing our wrath against God. He's bearing God's wrath against us sinners. And so Jesus is the great peacemaker who makes peace between God and his people. He draws us to himself. So here he's speaking to us, calling us also to be like him, to be a peacemaker. And it's through his death that he makes peace for us. And so we now seek to establish peace. Peace with God, with other people, that we want to help other people understand what Christ has done for us by rescuing us from our sin, and point them to that same peace so that they might find peace in Christ and his forgiveness, but also peace between people, that we might be reconciled to one another. So here Christ is calling us to seek to promote and establish peace with relationships. Now, as we think about this, I'll tell you what's really helpful for me in seeking to be a peacemaker. Kids, no bitterness. You know what bitterness is? Bitterness is kind of like an angry resentment where you don't forgive somebody and you kind of hold on to it and it stirs you up on the inside. Bitterness is, it's like taking poison or it's like trying to make somebody else sick by making yourself sick. Maybe that's a better way to think of it, right? It's taking a poison hoping it will affect somebody else. That's really no good. That doesn't work. Bitterness is not a good thing. I've known bitter people over my years. Now, I'll tell you a story, okay? Had a friend, pastored a church, a long way away from here. We were talking. He told me there were two women in his church. One of them was really bitter toward the other woman. They hadn't talked in over 20 years. Same church. Didn't talk. Ever. Because one woman worked at the grocery store. And the other woman went to the grocery store. The woman who went to the grocery store thought the woman who worked at the grocery store intentionally bruised her bananas. Bananas are a holy thing, apparently, in this particular area. Not gonna, you know. But they, can you, now, for us to sit here, that's unbelievable. We probably know people like that, sadly. They need our prayers, and they need our love. We may not be able to do anything to help them. I don't know. I've known lots of people over the years, and I've known some that are bitter. And it eats them alive. We can't be bitter. We cannot let what other people do affect us, even when they do it against us. But these two women hadn't spoken in over 20 years because one thought the other one bruised her bananas intentionally, and she didn't. Usually, those are the kind of things that they're not really big things. I also want to suggest to you guys, don't hold on to unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will also eat you alive. Now, what I do is if I'm dealing with somebody who they haven't asked God to forgive them, they haven't asked me to forgive them, and they've sinned against me, or they've sinned against God, I like to think of it as, and kids, this may be hard to understand. Maybe, no, it won't be, because I'll say it this way. When you talk to somebody, if you got a problem, you're probably going to go to your parents. Good. Please do. But what you have to do when you go to your parents, you have to let go of it. What I do is if they're still not willing to ask God for help, they're not willing to repent, they're not willing to turn away from their sin, I just kick it out of my court. I kick it into a higher court. I give it to God. Now it's not before me anymore. I don't even have to think about it. It's up to God to deal with them. If God confronts them and they repent, praise God. If they don't, praise God. It's in God's hands. And then I don't have to worry about it. For us, we don't want to hate for anything. Because again, hate, it's anger that we never let go of. And it really will hurt us more than anybody else. Think of Romans chapter 12, verses 18 and 19. Maybe it'd be good to look at it. Romans chapter 12, 18 and 19. 18 and 19. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Now, there'll be some people that we can't do that. We do what we can, we let go. So if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Give it to the Lord. I would encourage you, don't stop praying for people if you've got people that you're really concerned about where they are personally and spiritually. But I want to end with what I could have started with. True peacemakers are blessed by God. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus says. I think as I looked at this verse, you go back to verse 3, blessed, verse 4, blessed, verse 5, blessed, verse 6, blessed, verse 7, blessed, verse 8, blessed. I think Jesus is doing a piling on where he's adding one beatitude after another. The first one is really significant, because all the rest of them flow out of verse 3. The poor in spirit is a recognition that we are completely dependent upon the work of the Holy Spirit. But they pile up. And to be blessed by God, notice how it continues. The poor in spirit, those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are peacemakers. It's adding on all these qualities that God gives us. And it's a blessing that comes from God to us. And to be sons of God, that's to be in God's family. That's to be brothers and sisters of Christ. To be called into God's family. And it's God building these things for us. So kids, I want you to remember throughout the week, it's going to be hard. You're going to have times. As parents, we tell you the same kinds of things often over and over and over and over and over again. And we feel like as parents, all we need really is a tape recorder with just, or even we just put it on our phone, you know, 5 messages, 10 messages, you know, number 3, you know, stop tormenting your sister. Number 4, you know, get off the counter. Number 5, I mean, we just have our list, right? But our goal is for you to grow, to know Jesus as your Savior, for you to trust Christ, and for you to grow to be a godly person so that you might be a peacemaker who will genuinely reflect the character of God. Let's pray. Father, we do pray. And I thank you for this verse, for how you've used it in my life just to challenge me this week. I pray that you would use it on all our hearts, just to be reminded. You know some of the battles that we fight. Some of them nobody else knows like you know. We pray, Lord, that you'll teach us how to be peacemakers in a fallen, broken, sinful world with bitter, angry, hurtful people who just want to lash out in anger. Teach us, Father, to do what we can to bring reconciliation where we can and trust you and rest in you. Teach us, Father, we pray, and work in our hearts for your honor and glory. We ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.